And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. This is the debut week of my program. And yesterday, folks, thank you all so much. You made the program so gratifying to hear you all say that you'd been praying for me to be on permanently after hearing me substitute for a couple of our hosts. That was really very, very nice to hear. And I really do appreciate it. I am your host here on The Awakening, and I am here permanently as long as God sees fit. And this is The Awakening here on American Family Radio. Remember, we're heard all over the country on radio stations far and wide, and you can find out more about that by going to AFR.net, and you can see the radio stations that we appear on, the areas in which we are heard by radio. But remember that you can live stream the program on AFR.net. And not only my program, but any program you want to hear, you can live stream it. So please, for those of you who may be listening on the radio or listening on AFR.net, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, hey, they may live in who knows where, somewhere. In fact, they may live somewhere on the other side of the world. You can still say to them, you know what, you can hear the programming. Yeah, all you got to do is go to AFR.net and you can live stream it. And by the way, this will start with me, too, because I had the opportunity to do this and have had the opportunity to do this. You can also listen to the program's archive because they are archived in podcast form. And you can go and listen to a program that is already aired. So you don't have to miss a program if you really want to catch something. And this, of course, is talk radio. Make a note of this. I'm not going to take any calls right at this moment, but stand by because I'm going to try to get to you earlier than I did yesterday. The number is 888-589-8840. If you want to follow me, by the way, on Facebook, my handle is E.W. Jackson S.R. My Instagram handle is the same except with an underscore between the E.W. Jackson and the S.R. So it's E.W. Jackson underscore S.R. And I do have a personal Facebook page, Bishop EJ. So follow me on any of those. Sadly, I must tell you that you cannot follow me on Twitter because I've been banned from Twitter. And I'll tell you that story sometime because it's really ridiculous. They banned me for not for profanity, not for alleged hate speech. They banned me because I made a comment in response to Andy Fox, who after the Muslim terrorist attacks on Christians in Sri Lanka, he made a comment that the Christians kind of deserved it because they were engaging in dishonest evangelistic tactics. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's in effect what he said. And I responded by saying, it is not Christians who are going out killing people because they don't share their religious faith. I said, it is Muslims doing that to others. So to compare Muslims committing acts of terror and murder to Christians because you don't like their even evangelistic tactics, I said, is anti-Christian bigotry. And believe it or not, for that, Twitter suspended me. Now, they called it a suspension, not a ban. The only thing is, that was months ago, and the ban has not been lifted. I appealed it, never heard anything. So that tells you where they're coming from. It shouldn't come as any surprise. We know that these big tech folks are censoring conservatives. They don't want to hear what we have to say. And they don't simply want to make a better argument and to convince people that we are wrong. They want to silence us. And folks, that's the totalitarian spirit. And I'm going to come back to that again and again because I think that is a major problem in our country right now. And it is like a cancer that is eating away at the body politic. But before I go there or anywhere else, let me express our condolences, our prayers in behalf of the people who are either now already devastated by Hurricane Dorian or are in line and threatened by it. and may be feeling some of its effects already on along the Florida coast. Bahama, certain islands of Bahama were absolutely destroyed. Now, that's not all the Bahama islands, because there are many, many Bahama islands, but some of the islands in the direct path of the hurricane have just absolutely been devastated, and our hearts go out to those folks. And of course, as always, America will be among the first to respond, and America will provide more resources and more help to rescue people than any other nation. As always, America's always in the forefront of helping others, and yet the world excoriates us, scandalizes us, slanders us, accuses us. They have very little, generally speaking, the world has very little good to say about us, but when they're in trouble, to whom do they look for help? They look to the American people, who are extraordinarily generous, and they look to our government that provides all kinds of aid. And the president is already talking about sending aid down to the Bahamas to help the folks who have been devastated down there. And folks, that's why I love our country so much, because no matter what others say about us, we know that America is a noble place, and that America's roots are in Judeo-Christian values and ethics, and that is why we have been so phenomenally blessed as a nation. It is not because we're genetically smarter than other people. It is because we were established on better values that other nations have established themselves on. And yes, I know that doesn't comport with the political all in cultural relativism. Well, no, you can't say that our system is better than theirs. Yes, I can, and I did, and I will, again and again and again, because it's true. Remember when that used to matter? But of course, that doesn't matter now, because the only thing that matters now is that it be politically correct and acceptable to the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the far left and the Democrat Party and all of these forces for evil and lies and falsehood and deception that are seeking to lead our country down the primrose path. Well, here we are. AFR and yours truly and every talk show host on this network is here to say, no, we will tell the truth. And as George Washington used to say, all we can do is lift up a standard to which good and honest men can repair. The rest is in the hands of God. But I believe when people hear the truth, people whose hearts are open and honest will repair to it. They will run to it. And when they hear lies and those lies disturb them and upset them and they realize something's not right there, when they hear the truth, they will run from the lie and run to the truth. Now, speaking of lies, you know, you could almost set your stopwatch on this. The moment we started hearing reports about Hurricane Dorian and the fact that it was headed for Florida and headed for the coast of the United States, the eastern coast of the United States, you could set a stopwatch for how long it would take these leftists in the Democrat Party and the liberals and the socialists and the Marxists and the communists, and how long it would take them to say, it's climate change. It's climate change. Well, here we go, folks. You've got people dying. You've got people evacuating. You've got people in dire situations as a result of this storm, some of whom, of course, put themselves in this situation by not following the strong recommendations of the local authorities to get out. But some people didn't have anywhere to get out to. OK, some people just they didn't have any way of escape. But here comes the left under the leadership of Ocasio-Cortez, because you realize she's the leader of the Democrat Party now. You know, she's the boss, right? Her own words, she's the boss. Here she comes telling us, this is what climate change looks like. Okay. We'll talk about that and some other things when we get back. Stand by.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
You know, teenagers are sending sexually explicit images and videos to each other at an alarming rate. That is the conclusion of a study posted recently in the journal Pediatrics. The journal article, Prevalence of Multiple Forms of Sexting Behavior Among Youth, is a meta-analysis of 39 worldwide studies that included 110,000 participants. They found that sexting is more common than most parents would even imagine. The studies focused on teens between the ages of 12 and 17. The researchers estimated about 1 in 7 kids sent sexting messages and more than 1 in 4 received them. The authors suggest that the discrepancy in these numbers is due to the fact that some teens send sexting messages to multiple people. Now, one of the conclusions of the study is something that you would probably already know if you talk to any teenagers. They found the girls are often pressured by boys to send a sexually explicit photo. I sit on a board with an adolescent psychologist who often asks a teenage girl why she sends a photo. The answer is always the same. She was pressured to do so. Parents need to communicate lots of things to their children in light of this new research finding. First, we should remind them of the permanence of these images. They may think they're sending these pictures and videos to a trusted friend, but we hear so many stories about images that were then passed on to others. Then these images are passed on again. Soon, these sexually explicit images can be found all over the internet. Second, we should tell kids never to send a sexting message to anyone, but we also need to tell them not to ask for them. The research shows that boys are 4 times more likely to pressure girls to send sexting messages. Parents need to talk to their daughters and their sons. Sexting is more common than we would ever have imagined. That's why parents need to get involved. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Is your child anxious about starting school?
Welcome to Tips with public school educator Dr. Bill Ziegler.
Getting ready for the school year can be stressful. Finding school supplies, clothes that fit, or entering a new school can add up to be an anxious time. As a father of two and a public school principal, I understand the challenges of starting a new year. But I also know the blessings of a new beginning. A new year brings hope, an opportunity to start fresh and set new goals. It also provides a chance to grow as a person and find new friends. It's a great time to get involved in a sport, club, or music, and a new school year is perfect to share your faith with friends. Call us toll-free today and we'll send you a free book on religious rights in school so you know how to share your faith with your friends on a public school campus.
For a free guide to religious freedoms in schools, call 1-888-798-1124. That's 888-798-1124.
Brian Fisher here. A regressive pundit explains Joe Biden's gaffes. He's just too smart for his own good. The Talking Snake Media continues to lie through their teeth about hurricanes, and folks are considering using a social credit score developed by Facebook to determine whether you should be allowed to buy a gun. That and more next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. And Ocasio-Cortez, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is raising the issue that Dorian is the result of climate change. This is what climate change looks like. And the failure to address it is going to get more people killed. Folks, this is what weather looks like. And, you know, isn't it the height of arrogance that liberals, we have been keeping records on weather for just a little bit more than 100 years, I think. And the Earth has been in existence how long? Well, it depends on who you talk to. But let me tell you something, a lot longer than 100 years. And we have not been around, and we have not been intelligent enough, well-organized enough around the globe to keep track of the weather. We know very little except in the fossil record and except from certain signs that scientists can glean from what is left of the vestiges of storms and weather ravages. We know very little of what's happened in the past weather-wise. But here you have these arrogant leftists who are going to tell us that we are about to destroy the planet. In fact, she says in 12 years, it's over. In 12 years, it's over. And by the way, as a footnote, It is President Donald J. Trump, oft accused of racism, who is sending help to the people of the Bahamas. My understanding is, I've never visited the Bahamas, but my understanding is that most of the people in the Bahamas are not people of European descent, or as some would put it, white people. And yet the president didn't hesitate. He's sending help. Because the other lie that is often told is that the president is a racist and he doesn't care. He doesn't care about anybody but white people. He's a white supremacist and all this nonsense. Folks, it is all of this stuff is a lie out of the pit of hell. And let's be clear on what the left is trying to do. What they're trying to do is to get power over everything and everybody. Now, don't forget that, because you can always do an analysis of their behavior and their emphases and their actions by remembering this one point. Everything they do is calculated to give them absolute power over everything and everybody. That's what they want. And so these lies, these hysterical musings about the world coming to an end in 12 years, that stuff has one purpose: to scare the daylights out of people and hope that people will say, okay, what do we need to do? Do whatever you, here's my car, here's my house, here's my bank account. You take as much power as you need, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You be the boss. Folks, every totalitarian leader has always used these kinds of lies and deceptions to get people to cede power to them. And race is another one, to get every person, every minority that they can to turn off their thought processes and to surrender their free will, their votes, their allegiance, their loyalty, their trust to leaders who will then control things for them in their behalf and rescue them from the horrible racists that await them, that await, just wait to get them in their clutches. I mean, folks, this stuff is calculated for one thing. And by the way, when I say totalitarian, let me be more specific. These people are Marxists, they are socialists, and yes, they are communists. Now, they're not necessarily communists with a big C, meaning they actually belong to the Communist Party USA, which you all know the Communist Party USA is alive and well in the United States of America. Most of them would not add their names to the rolls, but they might as well, because the Democratic Socialists of America and the Communist Party of America both have the same goal, which is to make America a socialist country. So they might as well be full-blown official members of the Communist Party, but they wouldn't do that because they know that that could be politically suicidal. So they won't do that. But they will advance these policies that are nothing less than communist and totalitarian in their import. And folks, you could go right down the line. Everything they support is designed to help them gain absolute power over everything and everybody. I mean, just think about it for a second. Think about the Second Amendment and their attitude toward that. You know, we need a mandatory buyback program, which means basically either you give up your gun or we arrest you. You know, they look, folks, they don't want real background checks, which we already have in most transactions. They don't want that. You know, they want the ability to stop every single law-abiding American from getting a gun. That's what they really want. They really want to repeal the Second Amendment. But if they can't repeal it, they'll just gut it. Why? Because then the American people no longer have the autonomy to defend themselves against not only criminality, but tyranny. They don't want that. They don't even want that theoretically. Think about the treatment of the First Amendment. of the second, the First Amendment. Well, the First Amendment shouldn't include hate speech. Well, what's hate speech? What they say is hateful. See, I got banned, suspension, but it's actually a banning because they haven't even responded to my appeal, and it's been months. But that was because, in their mind, for me to point out the obvious, that the people who are attacking Christians and killing them, in that particular case, in Sri Lanka especially, were radical Muslims, not the other way around. Well, isn't that obvious? Is there any debate about that? And for that, I was accused of hate speech and banned from Twitter. See, control over everything and everybody. Control over the way you speak, the way you think, what you can and cannot do, how much of your money has to be given up to the government in order for them to satisfy their own sick, perverse thirst for power. See, absolute control over everything and everybody. And you know, they're sympathetic with this because you all know, don't you, that Google is cooperating with China in creating a system of demerits for citizens to determine whether those citizens are worthy of getting some of the most basic services based upon their loyalty to the Communist Party. In other words, the more loyal you show yourself to be, the easier it is to get bread and milk and meat and clothing and shelter and a job. And when they add up your score, if your score is below a certain level, then you not only will you not you have difficulty getting those things in sufficient amounts to sustain you, but they're also including in that heating fuel during the winter. How much heating fuel you get will depend upon how the party rates you in terms of your loyalty and your adherence to party principle. Well, what's the difference between Communist China doing that and these leftists telling a Christian, oh, you don't want to bake a gay wedding cake? Well, I tell you what, we're going to take away your job. We're going to take away your business. We're going to take away your reputation. We're going to vilify you. We're going to marginalize you. We're going to protest. We're going to do everything in our power to try to destroy your life. What's the difference? There is no difference. The only difference is that Chinese admit that they're communists, and these leftists don't necessarily do that, but they are. Because their intellectual, look, folks, wow. Look, my intellectual legacy comes from George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry and James Madison and James Monroe and George Mason and these men who were steeped in an understanding of freedom and its requirements, both to create it and to preserve it. The left has rejected these men as racists, slaveholders, you know, white men after all, right? And so where do they draw their legacy? Well, frankly, from another guy who presumably is white, although Karl Marx was Jewish. But from Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin and Engels and folks like that. That's Saul Alinsky. And the policies and the principles they put forward represent those people, not the Americans who bequeathed us this great nation. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
No one should be afraid to dream. Oh, I'm not talking about the kind that you have at night while you're sleeping. I'm talking about the kind you carry with you as you live, the visions you have. Indeed, every person should have some dreams of his own. Dreams help make life more enjoyable. Someone has stated that we should climb until our dreams come true. Of course, that is presupposing that we have dreams to climb toward. Most of us do. Those who don't should. Dreams will be as different as the people who have them. And why shouldn't they be? After all, they're personal. We do our own dreaming. No one else can ever do it for us. I'm a dreamer myself. I always have been. I hope I always will be. Some of my dreams seem unrealistic and impossible, but no matter how far removed they may seem, they're still possible as long as I continue to pursue them. Even if I never accomplish my dreams, they have been of value to me, for they've given me a goal to reach for and a desire to press toward that goal. They've helped me keep trying when defeat seemed ever so close and when I wanted to quit. You know, in one way, dreams aren't expensive. They don't cost any money. Even the poorest person in the world can have all the dreams he desires. But in another way, they are expensive. But we have to work and sacrifice to make our dreams come true. There just aren't many Prince Charmings around who will pop out of nowhere to make our dreams come true without any effort on our part. I believe this ability to dream, which we humans have, is one of God's great gifts to us. It has caused us to press on, to advance, to try to climb higher than we are. And in this respect, we are indeed indebted to God. Therefore, our dreams should be toward some goal that would make life richer for ourselves and, as well, for others. One thing I know for certain, God wants us to be somebody, to do something worthwhile. He never intended for a single one of us to be a nobody, to waste life. I hope you are a dreamer, and I want you to remember that your dreams don't have to include fame and fortune to be worthwhile. A woman who dreams of being the best mother has a very noble dream. A person who dreams of being kind and loving to other people has a dream worthy of pursuit. The world, and those of us in it, are greatly indebted to the dreamers. Their contributions to mankind can never be measured. So get captured by a great and worthy dream. Then pursue it. Pursue it with your whole self. Never stop pursuing it. Great and worthy dreams can come true. They have come true. And remember that everything began as a dream. As Carl Sandburg said, nothing happens unless first a dream. Well, dreams can come true, but even if they don't, life will be more rewarding for the person who dreams.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And if I may add, Don, we live in a country, the greatest country on earth for having and fulfilling dreams. Praise God for the United States of America. Well, there are people who don't like the United States of America, and they are right here among us. Some of our fellow citizens literally hate this country as presently constituted as a constitutional republic, and they want to see it fundamentally transformed into some sort of totalitarian state. And they may never call it that, but that's what it would boil down to. You know, folks, I've been reading the biographies of presidents here for the last few months, and I'm on the biography of Ronald Reagan right now. And Ronald Reagan used to say, and by the way, you know, he said this long before he ran for office. He believed this in the core of his being. He said, freedom is never more than one generation from extinction. We do not pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for and protected and passed on to them to do the same. Or we will spend our sunset years telling our children about the United States of America, where once we were free. May that never be our legacy for our children and grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and posterity to which we leave this nation. Now, I want to take some phone calls. The number is 888-589-8840. I want to get three specific issues on the table because I've kind of been opining about where the left wants to take us and this recent statement by Ocasio-Cortez about this is what, you know, Hurricane Dorian is what climate change looks like. And, of course, what they really want is for you to turn everything over to them so they can save us, right? Well, I said, if you really want to analyze what the left does, it's all about having absolute, complete, total control over everything and everybody. Climate change does that. Socialized health care does that. And you know what else does that, folks? And this brings me to the next issue. And California is leading the way, by the way. They've gone so far left that I'm surprised they don't just fall off the left coast. But this guy who killed Kate Steinle, you all realize, don't you, that the state of California found him innocent of all charges with regard to manslaughter. And do you know that they actually dropped the firearm charge because they said the fact that he had the firearm, the fact that he discharged the firearm, the fact that that Kate Steinle was killed by his unlawful possession and discharge of the firearm, or let's put it this way, was killed by his discharge of the firearm. Now listen to this, folks. You want to talk about people just twisting themselves into pretzels to do what's wrong. None of that proves that he was actually in possession of the firearm. I'm serious, folks. Some pinhead judge, in fact, I'm quoting, this is the District Court of Appeals, of course, out there in California, said this: "It is undisputed that the defendant was holding the gun when it fired, but that fact alone does not establish he possessed the gun for more than a moment. To possess the gun, defendant had to know he was holding it." Oh, my Lord. Folks, no wonder we're in such trouble. I mean, if that passes for judicial reasoning, if that passes for legal reasoning, oh, woo, we are in trouble. That doesn't prove he actually possessed the gun. He held the gun. He fired the gun, but he didn't necessarily possess the gun. And the thing is, while they're making these kinds of crazy statements, they're trying to do everything in their power to ban any law-abiding citizen from having a gun. I mean, how bizarre is that? Oh, yeah, he had a gun, but he didn't really possess it. He shot her, but he didn't really. He didn't really do it. And you know what all of this is about? It is about upholding illegal aliens in this country and bringing them in the ultimate hope and expectation that they will help the left, which is represented by the Democrat Party, will help them to create a governing majority that is unassailable. And guess what? They will turn these people into their slaves and their serfs because they will feel that they owe them their lives. I mean, you won't be able to get a better henchman than the guy who shot Kate Steinle because he knows that he's guilty. And they bent over backwards to try to let this man go. Now, thank God that the federal authorities are looking at him on violation of Kate Steinle's rights and seeking to charge him with federal crimes because I think he did violate some federal law in having that firearm. So they're revisiting this. But the state of California, they could care less. I mean, and I have two daughters, folks. I have two daughters. I cannot imagine what I would be feeling and thinking if somebody killed one of my children and then the state, with that kind of specious nonsense, lets the person go. Oh, Lord, help us. Two other quick things, and then I'm going to come right to the line. So just stand by for a second. did you all know, I mean, you all know about these drag queen storytelling times at public libraries for children. Well, it's recently come out that a number of these drag queens are convicted sex offenders. Yeah, they are convicted sex offenders. But guess what? The public libraries don't seem to be concerned about that. Because after all, they represent such an oppressed minority that we've got to give them access to our children, even if they've proved to be sexual offenders who have molested children in the past. We can't allow ourselves to be bogged down in that kind of insignificant nonsense. We're trying to help people rise up and become who they were intended to be in their sexual identity. Folks, this stuff is just getting crazier and crazier. And then I'll throw this one out there, and then I'll take some calls. You all realize that California just signed a law that allows, I say encourages, but allows people now, when asked for help by a police officer, to refuse. Now, of course, I'm not in favor of police being able to commandeer people, just kind of, you know, turn people into their, you know, I mean, we're going to kind of deputize you on the spot. But I think most Americans would say, if a police officer is in trouble and I can help him, I want to help him. You know what California is saying? Don't help him. That's what the law is saying. Don't help him. We want to encourage you not to help cops. And you saw these cops down in Texas just recently pulled a guy over for not using a signal light. Just a minor infraction. And, you know, people got pulled over, you know, slow rolling through stop signs and that kind of thing. It just happens. Police decide they need to enforce something because maybe somebody's complained or maybe there's been an accident and they want to try to clean up a certain area. And they pull this guy over. He pulls out a rifle and shoots one cop, tries to kill them both. And you want to tell people, don't help the police. See, again, folks, this is all about reversing the order. They want a kind of communist dictatorship, in my view, that allows what Marx would call the dictatorship of the proletariat, which really means the dictatorship of the elites who claim to represent the proletariat. And see, the police represent the elites. Police working hard for very little money, putting their lives on the line, but they represent the elites. And so you don't have to help them. I mean, folks, this stuff is just insane. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Buddy of Texas. Buddy, welcome. Oh, I've got to come back. Stand by, folks. Sorry about that. Ran out of time. Back in a moment.
She wants an adult conversation, but it was, yeah, fine, okay, pretty good. I had nothing to share with her. And the sad truth is, this is true for most men, I had nothing. I had forgotten my entire day. I had nothing for her.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Dr. David Clark shares a simple way to connect with your wife.
I had three notebooks. I had one for the car, I had one for my office, I had one at home. And this is before smartphones, and now I can use my phone, even though I still use my pad. I support the logging industry. Anyway, so I would jot down, as things happened during the day that I thought Sandy would be interested in, I'd say, you know what, the blonde might find this interesting. I would jot it down. So when I got home, I would have four or five things on my list. We'd sit down for a couple talk time. She was thrilled because I thought about her, and I actually had material. She didn't even have to ask. I said, honey, I've got some things to share with you. It was great, and I do it to this day. It's a winner.
More great marriage insights from David at FamilyMinute.org.
There's a lot happening around us. That's why Christians need to stand strong on family values and morality. Hi, I'm Ray Rooney, editor of The Stand, a blog from the American Family Association. The Stand has timely, carefully written articles on relevant cultural issues that you can quickly forward to others. The Stand is a beacon of light to a society in need of direction. Visit afa.net/the stand.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
Hi, this is Nancy Wessling, executive director of the Pregnancy Care Clinic in Salem, Illinois. J.J. helped us set a record for the most funds raised at our banquet.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
Sheila from Tennessee attended one of the town hall meetings hosted by Dan Celia. She left thinking about different ways to handle her finances.
Dan Celia spoke a lot about tithing and being faithful to the Lord, and I definitely intend on getting in on this charitable gift annuity, which I've never done, but it sounds so exciting. Listening to him in there, it made me reevaluate my way of spending money, my way of doing, and it shows you that a little bit can go a long way when you place it in the Master's hands. So what we need to do, and what I intend on doing, is taking the little bit and making it be worth much for the Lord.
Find out if a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation is right for you at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back, folks. Thank you for your patience. Wow, I got carried away and ran out of time there. So we're going to devote the rest of the time to you and your comments. So let's go right to the lines. Buddy of Texas, thanks for waiting. Welcome to The Awakening.
Sir, thank you, Reverend, for taking my call.
Glad to have
you.
Yes, I can hear you. What's on your mind today?
Okay. Well, about people bringing up socialism, how great it is, and communism, how powerful it is, and yada, yada, yada. It's so good for the people. They're deranged. It's been happening for a long, long time that socialism and communism has been trying to walk in the door. Well, they're here. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is telling all these lies to our young people, just like their gay agenda. They still tell all these lies. I'm a veteran. I joined at the Vietnam era.
So did I. What year did you join? What year did you join, buddy?
In 73, sir.
Yeah, well, you know what? I joined in 1970. So I was probably getting out around the time you were going in. But God bless you, buddy. Thank you for your service. Let me go to the next call, buddy, and get some of these other folks on. Folks, I want to say you may not know this. This is a fact. Did you know that John Brennan was a communist, and the first time, John Brennan, former director of the CIA, first time he voted for Gus Hall, who was at that time the chairman of the Communist Party USA. Did you know that James Comey was a self-professed communist? I know, folks, sounds way out, but I'm not making this stuff up. He said that himself to a reporter for New York Magazine before he got his first appointment as the assistant U.S. attorney, or maybe U.S. attorney. And he confessed, I used to be a communist. He said, I don't know what I am now. And to my knowledge, neither of them ever renounced communism. Now, I'm not here again. I'm not making it up. I'm not trying to be conspiratorial. I'm just telling you, those are facts. So what Buddy says about it's in the door, folks, it may be in the door in ways that we don't even begin to understand yet. Let's go to Mac of Georgia. Mac, welcome.
Thank you, Brother Bishop. I appreciate your program, and you are right on. I think what my opinion is, they want to do away completely with the King James Bible. They want to, everything that they are doing, and I don't believe all the Democrats are for that. And I'm
right.
praying the good ones will go along with Trump and defeat the wrong side again. I thank you for your program. Thank you.
Thank you, Mac. Thank you. The left is against Christianity in general, and anything that any Bible-believing Christian is on their radar screen as an enemy. You can rest assured of that. So let's go to Philip of Georgia. Philip, welcome. Philip, are you there?
Hey there.
Hey, Philip.
Bishop, you're a breath of fresh air. Thank you.
Thank you.
Socialism, Marxism, communism, it all boils down to the government being in control
mm-hmm.
instead of the individual having the freedom that every person in the world would love to have, to create his own destiny, his own future, her own future. Number two, I want to say something about the Second Amendment. When the framers did the Second Amendment, they had just come through a war with people that were an army sent from England to overwhelm them and take over control of everything with the colonies in this new world. So when they said that we should be free to have weapons, they weren't talking about hunting for squirrels. They were talking about defending ourselves against a military force. So anything that looks, sounds, acts like military is scary to these liberals, and they do not want that to even appear in the possession of any citizen of the United States. So mm-hmm. just a comment regarding the origin of the Second Amendment. And really the answer is, stop and think of this. Kroger and Walmart have both said we don't want openly known or shown weapons in our stores. What if everybody had the option of having a weapon? That would decrease the opportunity for these idiots
to go around killing people. Thank you, George, for the call. Let me try to get some others in before but George, you're absolutely right. They have banned it in open carry states. Virginia's an open carry state. Some of you may live in open carry states where you are allowed legally. You don't need a permit to openly carry a firearm, but those stores have said you may not openly carry in our stores. And I'll tell you something, there's nothing that will deter some potential mass killer more than walking up and seeing a bunch of lawfully armed citizens who are prepared to fight back. Let's go to, this is Mayo. Do I have that right? Mayo, I believe, I think that's Arkansas. Mayo, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, are you there? Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I was listening to you earlier, and you had made a statement about the gun control. And at first I was kind of on the fence about it, saying that, okay, I don't think we should have guns. But based upon the times that we're in, I believe you should. But then you also brought up the thing about tyranny, and I never look at it from that perspective. And I was wondering, do you think that the threat of there being a tyranny is based upon the mentality of the world we live in today?
Yeah, I really do, Mayo. Is it, by the way, is your name pronounced Mayo?
Mio, like the guy.
Mio. Okay. Well, yeah. I really do, Mio, and it's for this reason. I think the further our society gets from God, the more people have a perverse view of what it means to dominate other people. You know, I often point out, God never gave human beings the right to dominate each other. He told mankind to have dominion over the earth, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the things that creep on the earth. He didn't say dominate each other. But this is what happens when people get power who don't believe that they have to ultimately answer to God. They want to be God. And that's what communism and socialism and Marxism ultimately lead to. The state claims it is God. When you look at these communist countries, you see these giant posters of these leaders because those become their gods. And those are what they worship and bow down to. And that's where people end up when God is kind of kicked out of the picture. So, yeah, I think there is always that danger. I don't want to see it happen in our country. Lord knows that's why I fight so hard and stay active in these issues. But I think it is always a danger. I don't think we can ever take liberty for granted. I think it has to be preserved and defended and fought for and protected. And that's the history of our country. So thanks for the call, Mio. We appreciate it. Let's go to Randy in Missouri. No, Randy in Mississippi.
Yes,
Randy,
sir.
You there?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Randy. How are you?
Fine. I just wanted to bring out a point. I'm 59 years old, and I'm the son of a disabled World War II veteran who's now deceased, but grew up with a sense of pride of God and country. And I know when I was a young man in elementary school, we've seen the films about fallout shelters and the evils of communism and things like this. And to graduate, I even had to have government socialism and communism. And we were always taught the evils of it. And I wonder what has happened to today's thinking, to where our leaders, which a lot of them are older than me, have they forgotten where we came from back in the 60s and 70s, yeah, where this was an enemy of ours, and it was a theology that we didn't want to accept? And I wonder why these older leadership people are wanting to revert back to that. I mean,
Randy, I'm running out of time. I think you've got your point across, and I will give you a short answer, but we'll come back and talk about this later. A communist theorist named Antonio Gramsci came up with the idea that the way you take over a country like America is not by violent overthrow, but by cultural infiltration. And that's what's happened to us. We've got people who have infiltrated our colleges, our universities, our public schools, my goodness, our libraries, everything, our entertainment culture, our journalism. And they have a completely different attitude than what our founding fathers believed and left to us. And they are hell-bent, if I may use that expression, because I think it's the appropriate one, on converting this country from a constitutional republic based on individual liberty and responsibility to some sort of collectivist nation in which the individual doesn't matter, only the collective matters, and you better fall in line or you're going to be punished. And that is exactly what Marxism posits. That's exactly the way they think. The individual doesn't matter. It's only the collective that matters. And you must subsume yourself to the collective. Well, folks, I apologize for those of you I haven't been able to get to. But tune in tomorrow and call in early and get on the top of the list. And I want to come to you because I want to have a chance to talk to you. Remember, folks, we are here to help preserve the liberty of this nation as one nation under God, because I believe without God, there is no liberty and there is no justice for all. So we're here to do that and to glorify God in the process of doing it. It's an honor to be able to be on this program and have an opportunity to talk to you all. Please keep listening. Call me. Get on Facebook and communicate with me. We want to do everything we can to bless you. And remember this. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.